closer.
The Heimlich maneuver was always one of the things that we had to get recertified in every year. And that's all I kept thinking when I was choking was, just continue to cough. I just kept hearing that voice in my head and I just was trying to force it.
Steph's telling us about her adventure today prior to recording where she almost choked on toast.
I wanted to say she almost choked on a pickle.
Well, oh yeah.
No, that would at least be juicy. This was very dry.
He's talking about a different pickle.
Still more you liquid.
See, that's good to know. That's good
still
to know.
It still would go down easier.
We don't do misogyny on this show, so we'll leave it at that. But Steph, I'm glad that you didn't choke to death.
Thank you. I don't know about that, but public service announcement, if you toast keto bread, it's like three times as dry as regular toast.
And keto bread is dense as fuck anyway.
And here's what you don't do. You know,
it's made out of meat.
I don't know. I think it's made out of old butcher block. But you know how whenever you're trying to eat real fast because you're in a hurry, right?
Yeah.
And you realize maybe halfway through, oh, I need to drink something. Got a little lodging going on right here. And usually you know it's going to hurt when you swallow because you've stuffed your gullet too full. Well, that's what I thought this was. And I just stood up and I took a drink and it didn't go anywhere. And so I tried to take another drink and it didn't go anywhere and it wouldn't come up. And then I realized, I was like, oh my God, I'm choking. And then I started panicking because it was just me and my dog. My two dogs were outside and my foster dog was just running around me in a circle. And I was just going, trying to get it out. And ooh, it was really scary.
That's the thing. If you choke, you end up panicking because
yes,
that's the first thing is you can't breathe. What am I going to do? I'm going to die. Instead of trying to remain calm and dislodging it from your throat, gullet, as you say.
That dog, I'm going to get some free face here in a few minutes.
Free face. Oh, you don't have cats. Cats will eat you. Dogs.
You would have been so pissed if it was, you know, what he got out of my death meal was keto bread.
Well, good. You're okay.
And I'm okay. And I give props to those old Heimlich videos, you know, where you're like, what's her job? And they're just like, tables.
Yeah, table. Well, there's a scene in I Think You Should Leave where I don't know what season it is, but he's choking, but there's a celebrity there and he doesn't want to embarrass himself. I have rewatched that show so many times and I just want to keep watching it, but it is so funny. I saved Jeff once when he was choking and I gave him the Heimlich maneuver. I think we were in high school. Remember that, Jeff?
Eating some popcorn.
Yeah, no, it's actually the other way around. But I forgot that Jeff did give me the Heimlich maneuver because I was choking and I don't know how you could possibly choke on popcorn, but I did.
Did you suck like a kernel? You suck like a husk down into your throat?
No, it was regular popcorn. I don't know why I would have had popcorn where we were. We must have gone and seen a movie someplace. I don't recall.
No, it was the popcorn from Memorial Hall that they used to have that machine.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We were in high school. We would go to the activity center for the college kids and play video games. And there weren't that many smart people working the counter because Jeff would bring back peso coins whenever they'd go to Mexico. And I would tell the counter people that they're Mexican 50 cent pieces and then I'd get 50 cents for it. So And then I could go play Galaga.
That's pretty good that the exchange rate was dead even.
Yeah. It was pretty fair on their part. I think that person was like, well, they were just a student. So
I know the arcade games in Michigan definitely did not take loonies. Tried to pass those off a couple times when we come back from Canada.
No, don't take the loonies.
Those are worth more than American money, aren't they?
They're dollar. Well, they were then. They were like a dollar. And I thought, well, even though Canada's money's worth less, if I put this dollar in, that'd be like, you know, 50 cents. I should get two plays out of this.
Oh God. Well, again, glad that you're all safe and that you're not going to be spending Labor Day weekend, you know, in a morgue.
Look, I told you the only thing I was thinking about other than the fact that I was alone and this was definitely happening was the last thing I was going to see is this piece of shit kitchen and it's still not remodeled.
I love your kitchen. You have the kitchen magic stove. Isn't that what you have? The same stove we had before we had ours redone. You didn't find anybody to redo it yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've just been going back and forth on amenities and whatnot. You know,
you end up going with private contractor.
They're a remodeling company. They're doing our middle bathroom. So we had them come out and quote our.
You need a bigger toilet, right?
Yeah, I mean, everything, you know, the everything's from 1978. And apparently people in 1978 were 5'2". Mm-hmm. So all the counters are low. Everything's low.
They had a better diet, so they weren't shitting as much as we do.
I guess that must have been part of it. But, you know, they're not cheap. But then we've had other people quote us and nobody has been as detailed as they are. They get mm-hmm. 5 solid stars out of 5 stars out of like 300 reviews. I mean, I guess that's what I thought about is, yes, it's more expensive, but I know that when they leave, my shit's not going to be all fucked up.
Especially in the bathroom.
Anyway, so that's it. We've just been going back and forth on whether we're having this build out around the fridge and blah, blah. What can we live with? What can we not live without? Blah, blah.
If they raise your countertops, though, you won't be able to give yourself the Heimlich maneuver with it.
Yeah, you're too short. Do you have the open concept kitchen coming a la... you know, our favorite couple in Waco, you know,
the bald Roby? Guy.
Well, no, he's not bald. He has hair. Stop talking about my buddy that way.
He shaved his head. Hey, are you having shiplap?
Yeah. You getting shiplap or is that, or how about you got the subway tile going in?
We got the sub. They got the freaking subway tile. Yes. Yeah.
For your backsplash.
Subway tile for the backsplash. And you know, like I even mentioned to her, I was like, I don't know, even know. I mean, isn't this like overdone? I mean, I've been seeing things like on Etsy and such where people have been doing like these cool tin backgrounds, they do look really cool. And you can use like any color. And she's like, I mean, we're not going to do that. I mean, we can leave it. And you can do that if you want.
We got authentic subway tile with piss and vomit on it.
Oh, really?
You get that real subway feel. I stepped on you. You were going to say something.
Some rat. Rat yeah. droppings.
Rat, the harmonica playing rat shits all over the kitchen.
You would think, oh, I've got $26,000 and that should be enough to redo a smaller L-shaped kitchen. And it's not.
Yeah. No.
It's not enough. Mm-hmm.
Well, you could do it yourself. Throw lumber from local construction sites and get the how-to book and mm-hmm. Pickle look it up on YouTube. Get him doing it.
Yeah. I mean, we don't even want to do the tin backsplash. He's like, oh man, you have to cut that. I don't want to cut that. Fuck that. So in the end, I think what we're doing is we're just gonna have them do the kitchen the way that we want it done, and I'm gonna hold off on my bathroom for a minute for the master bath. We'll just hold off on that till later next year and do some other little trinkets around the house along with the kitchen.
You should have talked to our old co-host Ira. You know, he used to do stuff like that. He did a podcast about
being Contractor's Corner. Yeah. I should have asked Ira. But you know, Ira's in high demand.
He is in high demand. He has that 80s movie meme Facebook page that he constantly posting in. And I want to join in, but I get wrapped up looking at all the celebrities who've had COVID since we last did the show.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got COVID, man.
Yeah. Paul Stanley had it, got tested positive. They missed a bunch of concerts. Then Gene got it. What were they doing together? Then Joe Rogan got it. And then the internet went nuts arguing over his medicinal treatments. Boy, that's a lot of fun to read about. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. No, you're an idiot. No, you're an idiot. Fuck you.
Tim Dillon got it. He was vaccinated. He got it.
Yeah. What did he do for it?
He got that... he got that stuff.
Ivermectin?
The Trump juice, the Regeneron.
Regeneron.
Said he felt better in 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Trump did the same thing. There are treatments for it, but they don't want you to know that. They being, I don't know who, but they don't want you to know about it. And they definitely don't want you going to Agway and getting apple-flavored paste.
Well, it's not for poor people.
What isn't for poor people?
Regeneron.
Oh, no, no, no. You, well, yeah, it's, of course it's expensive.
Right.
You know, that should tell you what the vaccine does. It's free. But we're not knocking it. Get vaxxed.
Well, like, my boss is setting up a booster clinic next month. And I said, you know, I mean, I don't care. I'll take it, but there's no point. This booster is not made for this variant. So there's really no freaking point to take this booster. I mean, you're really well,
none
just...
of the. There's this is not a thing that's specific to any type of variant. It's overall, it just creates the thing, right? The spike thing. And I don't want to be too literal with the words we're using because I don't want to get a strike. But, you know, because the apparently Google doesn't like you talking about it unless you know what you're talking about. But they say get it. I know a guy who got it. I saw him at work today. He got it because he got vaccinated in December or January. He's one of the first people I knew that got the first shot. So he got his third shot today. He said, or 2 days ago, he said he felt weird for about 12 hours and then he felt fine.
I mean, I don't get it. I just don't see the point in it. I mean, I'm only going by this big op-ed that I read in the New York Times the day before yesterday, where they had like all these scientists converging and stating that they do not feel that this booster is going to improve your immunity against
until they get the check from
any
Pfizer.
New variants. There's and, really no point in it.
No, they'll get the check from Pfizer and then they'll be, oh, we were wrong. Sorry, Pfizer.
I just went out to the stable by my house and went into their medicine cabinet and took their horse pills.
That's the thing that pisses me off about it. There's a lot of things that piss me off about the arguments, but like I said, that in the we were texting about this yesterday or the day before, Joe Rogan did not go to a feed store and buy a tube of horse ivermectin or a veterinarian clinic. It's prescribed. It's been prescribed for people. It won a Nobel Prize for what it does. They don't know why it is effective, really, and they're doing tests all over the world. I watched a video from a doctor at Baylor University in Texas. Now, we should also say that Baylor University allowed Dr. Death to work there for a long time. But I am saying that there's a doctor there who, you know, does respiratory virus research and treatment. And he recommends it as part of therapeutics. You know, you give people zinc and you give them this, and it's a medicine that you have to get. But anyway, I don't want to dive too deep in it. But people argue about it. And you can tell that there's some sort of concerted effort to slam any kind of treatment because, you know, there's no protocol for once you tested positive and you start feeling bad, the protocol is basically just stay home unless you need to go to the hospital, drink fluids. But, you know, there are a lot of doctors in the country who have a protocol for treatment. And I'm not going to mention it. You're going to have to go find it because I'm not going to advocate for it. But if you're interested in knowing more, just go find it. It's out there. Don't use Google because they won't point you in that direction. But there are places to find it out. I've read, ever since this started, I'm obsessed because I'm a hypochondriac. And I've read countless studies and as long as I can understand them. I mean, if they start using medical terms and shit like that, you know, real scientific stuff, I'm like, I don't get it. You know, but I also what I'm not doing is going to Alex Jones or any people like that for my advice medically. But, you know, and I talk to my doctor, too, because, you know, that since I'm a hypochondriac, I'm there at least three times a year. So
I don't know about this COVID, but my worms are completely gone now.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're not going to get elephantitis.
Eating a lot of apples and carrots now.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Taking massive shits, man. As I'm walking down the street, I just take giant ploppy poops.
And you don't have to worry about cleaning it up. It just runs right off.
But I don't know. Aren't you guys tired of seeing people fighting about shit like this on social media?
Constantly.
Yeah.
It's
tired of
worse than
of
last
it.
Year, huh?
Well, it's got a year's worth of shit behind it. That's
yeah, but last year you also had the riots and the presidential campaign. So that was also bad. But now it's just this. It's just constantly Joe Rogan's taking horse paste. He's not taking horse paste. But you won't say that in your article. Well, you know, or I took the Trump drug and I feel better. No, you don't. You feel better because you got better because you were back. Anyway, doesn't matter. But
the dog post this week about the dogs at the airport.
The dog.
At Kabul airport. Yeah. How it was they left the military dogs. Then it was like, no, they didn't leave the military dogs. No, but they left these other dogs that were helping the military contractors. Mm-hmm. No, but yeah, it just went on and on and on and on and on.
Ridiculousness. And then there's the story about what they're doing at UGA with the Beagles. And that's from the Fauci's department. He's like, I had nothing to do with it. You know, we stop testing on animals. Do we really need to? Do we still have to do that? I don't think we do.
I mean, why don't you just test on some of these people that are dying of COVID? They're dying anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Don't we Radio Labyrinth medicine on people.
Did you guys watch the third episode of Only Murders in the Building yet?
Oh, just
not the third one, no.
Steph's going to nope out as soon as she sees Sting in the third episode.
What?
The Sting, wrestler or the singer?
No, the singer, Sting.
Why? I didn't know Steph hated Sting.
Sting hates dogs.
Oh.
Oh.
That show is so good. Caitlin and I watched the first two episodes last night. It was a ton of fucking fun. Those guys are great together. Selena Gomez, I never seen her act in anything. I think she's great in it.
No.
So far, you don't like her, or you not like the show?
I like the show, even in spite of her.
Okay, tell us why.
I hate her voice. For one, her voice, it just absolutely, every time she starts talking, I just want to kill myself. I can't stand it.
Oh man.
And just that, you know, she's got that weird, I know she's had lupus. I know, blah, 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 but she has that weird baby doll face. It's an old baby doll that she's sitting on your grandma's bed. It just bothers me. There's like a million other chicks they could have had play this role. I don't know why they picked her.
Well, she's upcoming. I like that song that Justin Bieber wrote about her.
What song was that?
I don't know. He wrote some song about her. I don't remember it.
I like her music.
I guess it's not that memorable. I would hate her music, but I think she's good. And plus that side boob in the shower was pretty cool. Jeff was telling me about that swing. I said, I turned my head because, you know, it's disrespectful.
I think Martin Short runs away with the show though.
Yes. He's very so funny. He's so fussy and, you know, perfect Martin Short role, but you know, Steve Martin does a great job too.
Yeah, he's good. The whole Brazos thing at the beginning, whenever they were talking to him about my dad's got ALS. Oh my God, I was dying.
Yeah. So I guess we'll talk more about that later, but it is Labor Day weekend. And when we were growing up, Labor Day weekend meant the MDA telethon with Jerry Lewis and his coterie of fans. I guess, you know, we would have all probably started watching it if we did watch it in the 1970s, maybe the mid 70s, you start remembering things. But my grandparents watched it all weekend long. Because why? Because the Frank Sinatra would show up and Ed McMahon was there and Tony Orlando was there. And Sammy Davis Jr., all the big Vegas guys would show up. And we've talked about it before in the past, but I did share it with Dustin. There's no sound, but I don't think we've ever put it in the video. So if you can put it in, I know it, the quality sucks, but there's this great video that of Jeff and I would answer phones. Jeff and I and his brothers in this video and our friend Stu, who met Muhammad Ali. We had him on a couple years ago. We would answer phones and stuff envelopes and basically just eat as many donuts as we could. And they had a soda machine at this TV station. First off, on Friday and Saturday, we would collect money, donations for MDA, the Muscular Dystrophy Association. We would do it at the grocery store as people come in and out, and we would go door to door. And it was a lot of fun. And we didn't pocket any of the money. We actually, you know, donated it. And, you know, Jeff's parents would always throw in enough to make it like $1,000. My mom would give, you know, $5 and because she was cheap.
Yeah, we should say we were on the local portion, not that.
Yeah, we never didn't go to Vegas. We would go to Elmira, New York on WENY, which was an ABC affiliate. They carried the telethon and we loved, you know, being on TV and goofing off. But anyway, let me finish the video describing the video. We had this face that we made. It was called the R face. Why don't you show everybody what that was? Yeah, that was the face. And that killed us. And we would do it everywhere. I think I got in the paper doing it. We are for the baseball picture for my team, the Phillies. I'm doing it.
In our yearbooks, like every picture of you was you doing the R face.
A couple of years. Yeah, I'm in the chorus picture, seventh and eighth grade or whatever. So we would make this face and try to get it into various places. Yeah. And so, Jeff, I'm in the back row answering phones, but I'm also able to look directly at the television monitor, the playback for the local station. And Jeff's in the front row making this face, going back and forth. Just he's sneaking it in. And then he does this one, it just goes back and forth, this big wide R face. And it was a lot of fun. And you can see me in the back giggling. And Jeff's brother is just kind of like, he knows what's going on. And our buddy Stu is just answering the phone. But there's another time that Jeff would sit in the back row at the MDA telethon. Very charitable of Jeff, by the way. He'd sit in the back row and then prank everybody in the front. He would call from the phone in the back and prank the people in the front. And I forget, what would you say to people?
I don't remember.
Just fuck with people. I remember one time I was in the front row and I didn't know yet that it was Jeff. And I went, fuck you. And I slammed the phone back. And not knowing that I probably shouldn't have yelled, fuck you. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. So, you know, Justin can drop the video in here while we're talking about it. And I've always tried to transfer that with the sound, because the guy that did the guy's name was Steve Christie, and he worked at WENY, and he was on the radio and he did the news and the weather in Elmira, New York. And I don't even know if I sound like him anymore. I used to be able to do his voice, but all those guys are past all those anchors. What was the other guy's name? The guy with the wig.
Hal Atrocia.
Hal Atrocia. It wasn't Hal Atrocia. We used to call him Hal Atrocious.
Yeah.
And then one year, I think I've told this before, I would try to call Vegas and speak to some of the celebrities. And the one time I got through, I got Heather O'Rourke from Poltergeist. And I was like, wow, I loved you in Poltergeist. Can you put Gary Coleman on? And she said, I don't think I'm allowed to. I go, no, come on, hand the phone to Gary Coleman. And she wouldn't. So I pledged like $10 and then never paid for it. But yeah. And then Jeff would always, I don't know, you would make fake donations with fake names like Gamuts Famuda, which meant get me up the shit or fuck my business. Anyway, but those days are long gone. Labor Day weekend, there's no more MDA telethon. And that sucks because it was one of those traditions. Did you guys like it, Dustin and Steph?
I don't know if I liked it as much as I was. It was one of the things on one of the three channels that we had to watch, and it was just on all day there. I mean, I'd pop in and out of it, but my grandmother would sit and watch it from start to finish, right. You know, doing stuff, but it was kind of on, but you know, I don't think I was old enough to appreciate it. I'd probably enjoy watching a rerun of it now more than I ever did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Dustin on that. Pretty much the exact same feeling, because he and I are the same age. You guys were just like a couple years older than us. I think maybe you appreciated it more than we did. I felt about like the same as when the Lou Rawls thing would come on. Like I knew,
yeah,
you this was something, right? It would just be on. Yeah, it would just be on.
I guess mine stems pretty much, you know, doing the collection stuff with Jeff, which I didn't really start doing that with Jeff until seventh or eighth grade. Must be seventh grade, but. Prior to that, I liked Frank Sinatra and those guys because my grandparents did. So that's why I think being Gen X, you're kind of lucky because you have this huge expanse of pop culture that you can digest. This is why I like Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast, because while that most of the stuff they talk about is old, it's in our demo because we have the World War II stuff, that generation. And then we, of course, have the boomer shit, which is never going to go away, especially now that they're going to do tours. Of boomer musicians, you know, hologram tours with real musicians. ABBA's going to do that. And then we have our own, which I would say is the late 70s and all throughout the 80s. So we have this huge chunk and we can cherry pick what we like. And I don't know. I think we're pretty lucky generation, even though we don't care about anything. Yeah, we're slackers.
I'd say the generation behind us was the last time shit was fun.
Yeah, maybe, definitely. Maybe, definitely. Yeah, the millennials, they have that too. I would say at least the first 5 years of the millennial generation, they have that as well. Nowadays, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say my sisters, yeah, they're 37 and 38.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they got like the good times still.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Autumn Fisher, who used to be on Radio Labyrinth, she's my coworker at the Von Hessler Doctrine on WSB. She knows all that stuff. But then you have Jared Yamamoto, who's a couple of years younger than her. He doesn't know anything from that era, you know, really. And my boss, Eric Von Hessler, always gives him shit about it. And I think, well, you know, Eric, were you listening to the Andrews Sisters and World War II jazz acts? No, you know, it's not interesting to these kids. And I don't blame them if they're not, you know, how do you not know who Led Zeppelin are? Well, I know who they are. I just never listened to them because it's boomer dad rock and I don't like it. It's guitar and drums. That's what our friend Stu's kid said. He goes, okay. What? Yeah. Well, yeah. But I mean, you know, it's guitars and drums. Big deal. I get it. I understand.
It'll rotate back around though. And just like everything. I mean, like everything else, fads and interest in generational things always have that 20-year spin. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so I think it'll come in. Now it may be considered retro to them, and that's why they're liking it. And you know, I'm looking at kids now talking about the 80s, mm-hmm. and they look at something that's like, we look at it and we're like, man, that's a caricature of the 80s, but that's what they thought the 80s were. Kind of like how we, or at least my generation, thought of the 60s and hippies. And you're like, okay, well, everything was like that. You know, not every band of hippies was the Manson family, but, but you know, you kind of put
cool
that.
If they had been.
Yeah, it probably would have had a different outcome for sure.
You know, though, if I just like to add, though, that I'm basically our DJ at work because I run our soundtrack, your brand station, and I create stations and all this other kind of stuff. And I try to change them every day. And even our people that work there now that are 21, 22, something like that, when I have the 80s station on, when it's playing like, always something there to remind me. I mean, they may have never heard these songs, but they like them.
Because they're good
but
songs.
If I put it on the like stuff that's safe for the office, that's like from people their age, like they're up there slitting their wrists to Billie Eilish and shit. I mean, so I think that even though a lot of them don't even know those songs, they put them in a better mood than the crap that is being marketed towards them.
That stuff is sonically ear rape. It is garbage. It's behind her is some downbeat that's terrible. I'm I saw the you know, and all that music, they take 70s and 80s songs or 90s songs and they retool them with that. I saw that. Apparently they're bringing CSI back, and now it's called CSI Las Vegas, as if people, I guess everybody that watched the original CSI are dead, because that's where it was, Vegas, and it was just called CSI, Crime Scene Investigation. They're bringing it back. They made it woke. And, of course, Grissom's coming back. But then at the end, they...
Who are you? Who?
Although I'm glad the Who is still getting money, but just play the fucking Who song. Nobody likes that shit. Nobody.
I hate it when they do that.
What was the one that they just had?
Entertain us.
Yeah.
Dune. What was it? Dune. The new Dune that's coming out. And they have
the trailer. What do they have?
Yeah, the trailer. They've got now I gotta look it up. Oh, look it up. But yeah, it's ridiculous that they do. I mean, why is if it's good enough to redo, why isn't the original song good enough to use?
Exactly. Well, they think that is going to bring people in, even people that's targeted to fucking hate it. Mm-hmm. Really? You know, I've listened to Lana Del Rey. She's like one of the first people that did that kind of shit and got popular. She's good. Then the other day, I'm like, we're watching Sesame Street videos on, I'm watching them on YouTube with Gil, and, you know, I'm playing the classic ones. Then you walk away and the algorithm keeps them going. And the next thing you know, Feist is singing 1, 2, 3, but she's made it into a children's song. That's fun. Or Elmo singing with Andrea Bocelli. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Con te partirò. The song that Carmela always listened to on The Sopranos when she was bummed. But they're singing, go to bed, Elmo, go to sleep. That's just fun.
The Dune trailer, this is even more sacrilegious now that I realize what it is. It's Pink Floyd.
What song?
It's, you know, All That You Touch, All That You See, All That You Taste. All That You Touch.
Yeah, Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, Dark Side. So they redid Dark Side of the Moon with, and it doesn't even have a credit for who. It just says Pink Floyd. Regurgitating movies isn't enough. Now they're going to regurgitate all the rock songs to be the soundtracks for these regurgitated movies. That's
about ridiculous. Big Black, You're My Precious Thing.
I would like to tie you down and grab your hair like a robe. You are my precious.
You ever heard that song? You know what I'm talking about? That's not very misogynistic. We probably shouldn't talk about it.
You like it when they do Mexican covers of songs like Hotel California?
That I love, because,
well, that's different.
Fucking
that's
amazing. Different. Gypsy Kings. I mean, come on, that's better than the original. Well, not really, but it's at least you know everybody's sick of it.
I'm waiting for them to do like they're making us fucking hostile.
Eat, bite, fuck, suck, gobble, nibble, chew. Nipple, pussy, hair, pie, finger, fox, screw, moose, piss, cat.
Is that guy still alive?
Dr. John Valby? Yeah, he's still alive. We talk about him occasionally on the radio show because he's from upstate Western New York. He's played down here a ton of times. He's been at the, it used to be at least once or twice a year, he would play the old punchline. You know, you guys ever heard of Dr. Dirty?
No.
No.
His song was Eat, Bite, Fuck, Fuck, Gobble, Nibble, Chew. Then he would had, he had a song, Christmas songs. It's beginning to look a lot like syphilis all around my mouth. I picked him up at the 5 and 10. He butt fucked me once and then. Yeah, fun stuff. Different era. Different era. I mean,
it's like the filthy Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, yeah. Filthy Weird Al. So anyway, yeah, what else are we going to talk about? I don't know. I'm out of shit to talk about. Roby had an idea that I don't know if I agree with, but it's Taking the Radio Labyrinth presents Radio's Call Out Radios to be on presents a 30-minute interview for Wednesday releases. So what is he saying there? Does somebody know?
We were saying last week that we were looking for people to interview, and he was saying we should interview some radios.
Yeah. Well, as soon as you drop an album or have a TV show in the works, we'll have you on. No, I don't know. That might be an idea. That might be something we could do. But we do have a radio coming up on the show on October 13th. That would be Emily Hine Warren. She's been on before. She played that game we did for a while. And but she's going to be on because she donated to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta during the WSB Carathon. So we'll have her on in October. But that's an idea. Maybe we could do it.
She donated Emily. A lasagna to me.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
It was fucking delicious.
No, I didn't get one. I was
She's
like,
the best.
She is cool. So anyway, guys, I'm doing a lot better. I haven't been able to talk on the Von Hessler Doctrine because I guess someone's afraid. I don't know. Don't want to make fun of people. I'm doing better. Gene has it now. And then, you know, Tommy Thayer, I don't know. We don't really talk. He just plays guitar. No, I talk to Tommy Thayer. But really, don't
make sure Sophie doesn't get it.
Who's Sophie?
Gene's daughter.
Oh, yeah. Okay. If you want to be misogynistic, listen, I don't eat horse paste. Gene doesn't eat horse paste. I don't know what Joe Rogan's doing. We're not horse paste people. I eat a lot of heart garbage. I just do that for, you know, recreation. I put it in my popcorn. It's really delicious. So guys, we'll be back rocking and rolling. And yeah, so don't worry about me. I'm fine.
Did you come up with any new tunes while you were out?
While I was out with the COVID for 2 days?
Yeah.
Yeah, Regeneron and Roll. Don't eat horse paste. I'm just a work in progress. I just have the chord structure, but I don't have the lyrics yet. Hotter than hell, which is how my head felt when I had COVID because it was a fever.
It was just in time to cancel the Atlanta or to postpone the Atlanta concert that had already been postponed.
Yes, I know. Yeah. We'll be back. We'll be back to rock you hard. The tour that won't end because of COVID.
You wanted the COVID, you got the COVID.
Shout it, shout it, shout it out loud. You better put your mask on.
Yeah, for the Moo variant.
Oh, the Moo variant. Dr. Fauci said today he doesn't see that being a problem, which means get ready.
Gonna I'm be ready. A problem. Bring it, bitch.
All these variants are named after fraternities in movies or television. You have Delta, 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 which is from Saturday Night Live. I forget that chick's name. She was only
Hustle.
Millie, yeah, whatever happened to her? And then you have Lambda, Lambda, Lambda from Revenge of the Nerds. And now you have Moo from Revenge of the Nerds. You Moo sure can party. I think I would have liked the Moos better than the other ones because the Moos could party.
Well, they could use that Doja Cat song that you used to love.
I still love that Doja Cat song.
Yeah.
Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. I am not a cat. I don't say meow. I go Moo. If you use your brain, you can figure out why I like that song so much. It had more to do with the video than it does the song. But the song grew on me after I watched the video 50 times with my pants off. I'm just kidding. I had my pants on. Why don't we take a break and come back and we'll talk about what's going on in the movies and shit like that. And we'll talk about what we watched and do our staff picks. What do you think?
Sure. That's
good. Moo.
Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, Georgia. Did I say that right? Conyers, Georgia?
Yeah. Oh, it's Conyers.
Yeah, it's Conyers. Oh, that's Dustin. That's what you call home. That's where you call. And home is where you hang your pizza. You see, I'm a little bit tired, but you know, that pizza will revive me. I plan on going out there very, very shortly. And you should go out there if you live in the Atlanta area. And even if you don't, if you live in like Alaska, you should order one. Maybe I'll ship it to you. It is our favorite family owned and operated restaurant. And they have so many fans in the metro Atlanta area and all around the globe. People come all the way from Pennsylvania to eat there. Their gyros, generously tough pizzas, Greek salads, subs, Greek and Italian dishes are the best anywhere around. Just ask their loyal customers the next time you visit. By the way, they have free Wi-Fi if you want to check your AMC stock while you're in there. Dine-in and takeout available. Hours are Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday from 12 to 9. Closed on Sundays. You can visit them online, atlantapizzaeuro.com, and find them on Facebook where you can get specials and updated information about events and things that are going on out there. Mike Hall is a class act dude. We love him, and we've done a couple live shows out there. We did our last appearance out there, our end of the COVID, hopefully, get together, and we look forward to sometime in the fall, late summer, early fall, doing a full live recorded show out there, maybe around Dragon Con time if we can work it out. So
I wanted to bring out his new fancy food truck.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Go out into a field.
His food truck is going to be on the road soon, and hopefully somewhere near us.
Yeah, maybe we could do it in my backyard.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it in my house. I didn't say that out loud, did I? No. So, guys, check it out. Atlanta Pizza and Euro.
And we're back.
We are back. What'd you say, Steph, before we...
I said congratulations on the Von Hessler Doctrine renewing their contract.
Oh, yeah, you found out about that on Twitter, too?
Facebook.
Oh, okay, yeah. Or on social media. Yeah, I was scrolling through social media. It's a very odd show, which was fun today. Today was our last show. You know, we record on Wednesdays, whatever. A couple days before this comes out, we're recording. And today was our last show before vacation. And the whole show, all the bumper music was songs that had the word last in them. And, you know, oh, we don't know if we're coming back. And then, of course, I found out on social media, thanks to Jared's tweet. That's cool. Yeah. Autumn and I are in the text chain going, you signed? Okay, cool. Thanks, Jared, for tweeting it and putting it everywhere. But that is good news. It is good news. It means I'm employed for another year.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man.
Yeah, man, that's good shit. And I
got to feed that baby.
Got to feed the baby. Got to get a look. I'm looking for an endorsement to have my basement done. Anybody want to help me with that?
Ceiling?
No. We need the whole thing done. You know, they come
finished
out. Yeah, we need to finish. It's not going to be like a playroom type of basement or a finished basement. We just need to make sure that that's already there. We have cages. We built cages to house dogs when people go on vacation, but we only did it once or twice. But the dog that we had was a moron. Spaz. Anyway. Sidetrack, but no, I want to get to make sure that every time it rains, I'm not, you know, having to go up on the roof and clean the gutters.
So we get a gutter guard
flooded. We got the new roof, so at least the ceiling doesn't leak. But it would be nice, you know, get me, a, you know, I want to be like Dave Baker. Anyway, nobody knows who that is. So anyway, yeah, back for another year, and Caitlin's back to work. So now we're splitting the duties. At least she's off Thursdays and Fridays. It was kind of cool this week that I got to get up on Tuesday and Wednesday and do all the stuff, like get up, feed the dogs, do that, make sure they're out and back in before I wake him up and feed him, take him and drop him off at daycare. That was weird on the first day. I'm sure people can relate to that, dropping your child off at daycare and then leaving. It's like, you don't have your child with you and you left him with strangers. But he did really well there. And next week I get to have him all to myself. Ooh.
You got the cameras though, right? Like you can check up on these people to make sure they're not, you know, weird.
No, it's this tent city underneath one of the overpasses off of 85.
They do great work. I've heard good things about them.
Yeah. They have a wet nurse. And everybody,
they work for Elvis, man.
Yeah. Wet nurse. Just everybody can get it right from the tap. You know, sometimes when I get coffee at Starbucks, I forget to put cream in it. How beneficial it was to stop there underneath the overpass in the tent city.
A little chip.
There you go. And it's really affordable. I mean, all you have to give them is crack.
I bet you that coffee gets you cranked, though.
What coffee? Their coffee?
Either the coffee with the druggy titty milk in it.
Oh, yeah, because she's a total meth addict.
Right.
And, you know, you have that coffee, and you not only do you get the it's kind of a clotted cream, but you get so much energy from it. It's better than bulletproof coffee.
She'd do a little heart.
Yeah, it's jagged. Yeah, she does it with
a little crack duster on the rim.
Go. Be safe with us, don't worry. So, you know, ostensibly this is a show where we Gen X people talk about television and movies. You guys always watch more than me, but next week I promise I'm going to just do nothing but watch TV. I'll have a lot of free time on my hands. Did watch a couple of things that you guys recommended. It's funny because when we finish something, Caitlin will say, "What else has Steph recommended?"
I love Caitlin.
Because that is becoming, what else is Steph recommending is becoming, these are good shows, you know?
You tell her, she looked like a stunning, I don't know, like out of a superhero movie the other day in the morning, she had hair blowing. It was like nighttime.
Oh yeah, because she's back on television.
Down on the street telling you about what the hell is going on out here.
Yeah, with her mask on. She didn't have it on. I saw her on TV.
I hope she's got a 38 in the back of that thing.
Well, let's hope she doesn't get sent to any stuff like that. But I'll tell her what you said. She'll be pleased to hear that. Let's see. What's going on? Cobra Kai, season 5. I am way behind on that. I'm still on season 3.
But, season 5. Season 4 hasn't even started yet. So.
Oh, okay, good. Well, so season 5, that show is doing so well. I had no idea that it was doing that well.
Yep. They renewed it for season 5, even though season 4 hasn't started airing yet.
I do like that Bill Zabka gets all that work. I wish we could talk to some of the people on that show. They shoot that here in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to speak to him. I'd love to speak to Daniel, but he's a big timer. I'm sure he wouldn't want to talk to us. He might. I don't know. We need to find a way to get in touch with these people. Because I was talking to somebody the other day thinking about, you know, you guys listen to Gilbert. Most of us listen to the Gilbert podcast, and he really focuses on old Hollywood and 70s and 80s stuff. Be cool if we could find some of these actors who made, a lot of them were kids and stuff in the 80s, like Todd Bridges and stuff, and just talk to them and, you know, just shoot the shit. That's kind of what I'd like to start doing more of if we could. So I'm going to put a little effort into that.
Reach out to Nicholas from Eight is Enough.
Yeah. Adam Rich.
Yeah.
What's he up to?
Not too much. That they got out of jail.
Eight is Enough was a porn movie that I he's not in jail. Is that what you said? He's in jail.
He was in jail for a while.
For what?
I think drugs.
Oh, he doesn't act anymore, does he?
No.
Yeah, that's too bad. But yeah.
When we talk to him.
I'd love to talk to Adam Rich. Do you guys know who he is? Don't you? Steph and Dustin.
Yeah. The little pumpkin pie haircut.
Yes. He had the Dorothy Hamill cut like every kid had in the 70s. Boy or girl had the same.
Yeah, I had it.
I did too.
We could reach out to Butch Patrick, but he'd mess up those tables so bad.
I have reached out to him, and he didn't write me back. So reach out to him. What does she do for a job? Tables.
Why is there so much swearing?
First scene in the very first show, in the very first season.
Chris Drulin.
I think you need to pull it in. No, this door goes both ways. That's what got me hooked. Need more.
Do you not do that every time now when you're out with somebody who's seen the show?
Yeah.
Like, it goes both ways.
I've been annoying people who haven't seen it with, this is why you need to watch it. There's two in particular from I Think You Should Leave on Netflix that contain some of the most brilliant comedy writing I think I've ever seen. The one with Bob Odenkirk where he's lying.
Triples.
Yeah, that is brilliant fucking writing. And I can't remember the other one I was thinking of. But
speaking of Bob Odenkirk, did you see David Cross posted a picture with him and said that Bob Odenkirk almost died?
Well, I thought that's what happened. When he had a heart attack, right?
Yeah, I know, but I didn't know it was that bad. I thought he had a minor heart attack and everything was okay now and stuff, but I didn't know he literally almost died.
Damn, I didn't know that either. But I wouldn't know that from David Cross, because he's one of those celebrities that just constantly tweets about things that don't interest
me. You can't handle that.
I can handle it. I just don't want to look at it, so I don't follow him. I think he's very funny, and I like pretty much everything he's done. It's just constantly, DeWormer. Okay, I get it. You don't like DeWormer.
Did they try to cancel him a couple about some crap that he did to...
I thought it was part of that whole Jessica Walters thing.
It was to do with that Christine Yee girl. It was like he made her feel like less of a person or something. She's Asian. Yeah. I don't know. It was something like that. And then, you know, of course, he's not only is he who he is, but he's also married to his much younger wife, Amber Tamblyn, who's him times a thousand.
Yeah, she's getting woke. Very annoying.
Right. So she like apologized for him while he was apologizing for himself. There was just so many apologies.
Jeffrey Tambor, by the way, totally railroaded and pushed out of show business, and he's one of the best actors and funniest people ever. That's also, I'd love to talk to him, but not about any of that shit.
He should just be trans. They'll let him come back. He's already prepped for it.
Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations to Cobra Kai. Let's see this story somebody posted in our show notes. So Carol Baskins is out of money or some shit?
No, she sold the zoo that Joe Exotic used to own,
mm-hmm.
and said that as part of the terms of the deal, that it could not be used in any filming for anything to do with Joe Exotic, like movies or documentaries or specials.
Why would she do that?
Just to stick him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she owned it, so she could make money. Why would she do that? That's stupid. I mean, all he did was, you know, plot the murderer. I don't like that lady. I think she killed her husband.
Oh, she definitely killed her husband.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Autumn Fisher does such a good impression of her.
She does.
Can you believe that documentary was the first thing that people binged in the pandemic here in the United States?
You know, when they made that and they went to market it and put it out, I mean, they never thought, you know, what stars would have to align for that to happen. And mm-hmm. go figure, it was a pandemic that kept everybody in their house to watch anything on television, and it just happened to strike a nerve. That's, you know, it's pretty amazing in its own right, regardless of what it was.
Yeah. We started watching Heist last night. One of you guys had recommended that or had watched it before. It's a pretty good show. The first two episodes of that lady who went off to Amsterdam and had a kid and came back down. Did you guys watch that? Any of you guys watch
Money Heist? Is it Money Heist?
Might be Money Heist. It's different stories from people who stole money.
Oh, it's called The Heist.
The Heist. Yeah. Did you watch it, Steph?
I haven't watched it yet, but I want to.
Yeah, we enjoyed it. Let's see. What We Do in the Shadows. Harvey Guillen is going to be doing the post show on FX after new episodes, which started
online.
This week. Oh, it's online. It's not going to be on FX.
Because the show premieres tonight.
Yeah. They're showing the two episodes tonight, and then they're repeating the two episodes tonight. So I think it's probably during those repeats that he's online, maybe on Facebook Live.
Well, that show is super funny. I hope Mark Hamill comes back this season. Is that, what was that character's name? Jim?
Jim the Vampire.
Jim the Vampire. What a great name. Jim the Vampire. Such a great show. I'm glad it's back. And I really don't have any other news to talk about.
I did see that they pushed back Ghostbusters again.
Really? Why? It must suck.
I don't know. No, I think they were worried about it falling on the same weekend as the new Top Gun Maverick.
When is that coming out?
It was coming out around Halloween.
Okay.
And then they were going to do that, but they pushed it back to, I think, right before Thanksgiving. So now it's in the end of November. It'll be coming out.
The next movie I'm looking forward to is The Many Saints of Newark. And that's not that far away, about a month, right?
It's going to be on HBO Max, though. You don't have to go to the theater for that one.
Oh, I know. I'm not going to go back to a theater for anything. Not now.
I'll go for Ghostbusters, but...
I might go for that. I haven't been to the movies. I can't even remember the last movie I saw. It might have been the Adam Sandler one.
I want to see Dune at the theater in IMAX.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I like the old Dune. I don't know if I'll like this one. Maybe. I don't know. Steph, before we talk about what we watched and everything, Steph had an interview this week, Radio Labyrinth Presents, and I thought you did a very good job, and I think everybody should watch it. Steph, why don't you tell everybody who you interviewed?
It was Diallo Riddle, the writer, creator, producer, of Sherman Showcase and Southside, which Southside's coming back in November on HBO Max. If you haven't watched it yet, check it out. I really think you'll like it. It's very funny. And Sherman Showcase is just like a crazy, it's like a parody of Soul Train. And but like
you showed me clips of that. My God, that was funny as hell.
It's like a mockumentary of the making of a Soul Train type show, basically. And like we talk about in the interview, they shot both of these shows at the exact same time, basically around all in 9 months. They premiered a week apart from each other on two different networks, and they both were hits and they both got renewed. Which I don't think that's ever been done before.
And was he on Workaholics?
I don't think he was on Workaholics. I don't think he ever showed up on there.
No, not Workaholics. I'm sorry.
Silicon Valley?
Yeah, wasn't he on that?
Oh, yeah, he did come on. He was on there once. Right. I believe he did like a little guest spot on there. But we talk a lot about Atlanta because he's from Atlanta. So we talk a lot about Atlanta, growing up in Atlanta, comic book stores, stuff mm-hmm. like that. But, and music. We talk about all kind of stuff.
Well good.
And Dustin was on the Wilder Ride.
Oh yeah, Dustin was on the Wilder Ride. Talk about your interview with Walton Allen.
It was fun. We talked about the show mostly.
You said they made a cut to make me sound like a dick.
No, they didn't make it sound like a dick. It just didn't. What I was saying sounds like I didn't finish a thought.
Okay.
But yeah, it was, so we're going to have t-shirts or stickers at some point that says Tim is Tim.
Okay.
And, you just leave it at that.
They don't like that, but we'll do it anyway.
It was meant very complimentary. It just came across sounding really weird.
So if you throw people under the bus or compliment them, they cut that shit.
Yeah.
You know, they want to even keel, but it was a fun time. You know, those, we talked about reaction videos on YouTube, lots of YouTube talk. So, if you're, you know, if you haven't ever listened to the Wilder Ride and want to give it a whirl, check it out.
Yeah. They're really good hosts, even when they're not just talking about, Gene Wilder films. You know, Alan is a talk show host and an actor, and Walt is also a part of that. He's really, really good. And it's a fun show and a good listen. So check out the Wilder Ride. It's available wherever you find podcasts. If you have a commercial or residential construction printing need, we have the hookup for you. The name of the company is LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia, not Athens, Greece. The one in Athens, Greece, they're not going to get it to you on time. But the one in Athens, Georgia has been in business since 2005. Steph knows the guy who runs it. He's a cool cat, and they have super fast turnaround and affordable prices. So if you understand what we're talking about and that is something that you're in the market for, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. So let's talk about what we watched and do our staff picks. Before we wrap up, I'll go first because it's always on the least amount. I, of course, watched Bob Ross, Happy Accidents, Betrayal, and Greed. Did everybody watch that?
I did not.
I watched it last week before we even talked about it.
Man, what a good documentary.
It's good to see what his son's up to now. I wish he could have lived the life that his dad wanted for him.
Man, that guy got fucked though out of his life and image. He doesn't have a dime. I don't want to do any spoilers, so if you want to watch it, go ahead and watch it. But I always loved watching that dude on, you know,
his dad wanted the son to take over for him, and basically he got screwed.
Yep. I remember the German guy that he kind of copied that. Now you put the van in the river and then you paint the tree.
A lot of people like that guy because he was like the OG, the original.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt like Bob Ross was too soft. And
well, the documentary tells you why Bob Ross.
It was a reaction to that guy.
Yeah, but also to, you know, sex up the housewives who were home with kids watching PBS. We had a guy, I don't know if he was local or if he was national, that Horkenheimer, the guy that did the space. This is where the sun will be. I don't know if he was just local to us, but I like that guy too. There are a lot of interesting characters on PBS back in the 80s and 90s, early 90s.
The documentary is real well done though.
Who was the guy on PBS that had the spandex suit?
Slim Goodbody?
Slim Goodbody.
Yeah. Okay.
A real weird looking dude that it was, you know, you saw his guts and shit.
Yeah, you look like the dude off Welcome Back, Kotter with a bodysuit on.
He came to our elementary school. Tim, were you in there when he came to our elementary school?
Yeah, I was there. Yeah. Very creepy.
Was he in the suit?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that thing's got to smell great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he probably had more than one of those. Slim Goodbody. And he was always on Captain Kangaroo. He'd do stuff like that. I loved Captain Kangaroo until that guy shit canned. Well, of course, I was too old. By the time it was gone, I was too old to watch it. How about this? I watched with my wife, we watched Clickbait on Netflix. Man, whoa.
Was it good?
No.
I see trailers for it and it doesn't interest me in the slightest.
Interesting story, interesting premise. You had some good acting, you had some bad acting, but overall it was just kind of long and arduous and not all that enjoyable. But interesting plot twists and things like that. It's just, I don't know, it was weird. It was weird that it's like that Dr. Death series with, and I mentioned this, the Dr. Death series that had Alec Baldwin in it and all those, you know, really good, competent actors, but they were just phoning it in because the script and the direction and everything else sucked, you know? Christian Slater did a good job. And then I think he was the best in that Dr. Death series, but it felt like that to me. And of course we talked about this already. I started Only Murders in the Building, which we both like at home. And my staff pick starts next week. It is Impeachment, American Crime Story, about the two times Donald Trump was impeached when he was president. Oh, no, it's about the time Bill Clinton got impeached for getting a blowjob from...
I think that started already, didn't it?
I don't know. I thought it started on the 7th.
And you may be right. I've heard people talking about it, though. Maybe they're talking about...
Maybe it's online. I don't know. But anyway, I'll watch
your copies or something.
I'm going to watch it. I've liked those series so far, American Crime Story. I think they've done a good job with the ones that they've done already. So I'll probably
watch it. Yeah, I'll watch it. They do a really good job with them.
Yeah, the OJ one was really good. What was the other one that was the...
Cunanan.
Cunanan. That one was... I thought that one was better than OJ, mostly because I didn't know that story.
Yeah.
But the acting and everything was really good. The trailer for Impeachment looks good, too. So that's my staff pick.
Wasn't W. Earl Brown in one of those?
No, he was at American Horror Story.
No, he was in an American Crime
Story. Yeah.
We'll sort this out off air. I'm telling you that there's something wrong here. There's something afoot.
He played Phil Critter in Smoldering Children episode of American Horror Story.
Tim, don't tell me and Jeff what we didn't watch. We watched it.
I'm just saying it.
And when we talked to him, I talked about it, his performance, because it was such a great performance as the dad whose daughter had been murdered.
You're thinking of American Sausage Standoff.
No, but I want to see that.
I did watch that. It's in my what we watched. It's very good. And W. Earl Brown is such a racist asshole.
Oh, my.
It was hard to separate my love of the man, W. Earl Brown,
and
my hatred of this character. But the movie was really well done. It's like, I would rank it up there with any Coen Brothers movie. Like Raising Arizona is kind of in that vein. And maybe a little bit of Big Lebowski in there. It's extremely funny.
Where do you see it?
Dark. It's on video on demand. It just came out this week.
You guys are thinking of American Crime.
Yes.
Felicity Huffman, but it's not a part of that American Crime series, right?
No, yeah. There's American Crime, which was an anthology series. And there's American Crime Story.
Okay. All right.
Which is the one that Ryan Murphy produces.
Okay.
So it's not, this American Crime wasn't a Ryan Murphy joint?
No. American Crime, that was an ABC show. And they did three different.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's what it is. But I recommend you guys watch the American Sausage Standoff if you want to rent it. So yeah, I watched that American Sausage Standoff. Watched all three of the Only Murders in the Building. Love it. Watched two of the What Ifs. I haven't watched this week's, or I think there's four of them out now.
Yeah, there's two. Yeah, there's three and four are out now.
Watching Heels. I don't know if you guys keep watching that. It's very good. Joel Murray and his wife showed up on this third episode that just aired on Sunday.
I've only watched the first one.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it. Ted Lasso, number 6 of season 2. I still love it.
You hear about that conspiracy that the one guy is a CGI character?
Where?
Which one?
In Ted Lasso, the older soccer player that Ted in the first season tries to make the leader of the team. I can't think of his name.
Roy Kent?
Yeah.
They're saying he's CGI?
Yeah, that's a conspiracy going around that he's CGI'd into the entire show and he's not a real person. I'm sure that's just ridiculous because we all know that he is. Is Roy Kent from Ted Lasso CGI? You don't know. You know what? I buy it from The Verge.
Yeah.
Brett Goldstein responded and says, no, I'm really in the show.
Walking Dead. I'm still watching that. I'm going to watch that till it fucking drops dead. This is the final season. It's in 2 episodes now. Still not good, but I can't quit this show.
Mm-hmm.
Chapel Wait. Very good. You guys should watch that. It's on Epics. Steph's favorite network, Epics.
It looks interesting.
It's really good. I like Adrian Brody.
You can watch the first episode on Apple TV.
For free?
As a preview. Yeah.
Yeah. And Epic, we get Epics with Comcast for free if you have Comcast.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there's 2 episodes out now, and it's really well done. They haven't got to the vampire stuff yet, but it's coming. And I talked about American Sausage Standoff already, and I read David Steinberg's book, The History of Comedy, or Inside Comedy. That was real good. I listened to the audiobook. And my stat pick is What We Do in the Shadows. Starts this week, tonight, or last Thursday if you're listening on Saturday.
Did everybody finish Brand New Cherry Flavor?
I watched 5 so far.
Steph, did you finish it?
I finished it.
What do you think of the ending? We won't spoil it, but
I liked it.
Did I was left wanting more, disappointed in how it ended, but it didn't go where I thought it was going to go. But I liked it. I'm not saying I hated it. It was just okay. I get it. Whatever.
Okay. No, that was good. I liked it.
All that to lead to I'm getting well. Whatever. I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, don't spoil it for Jeff.
Yeah.
Let's see. I watched What If. I watched the first 3. Haven't watched the 4th one yet. I'm enjoying it. They could be a little more what iffy than they're being right now. It's just let's flip flop a few characters and
I agree.
And rehash the same stories over.
The animation's awesome though.
Yeah, the animation's great. Yeah. It's very similar to the last Spider-Man movie, the multiverse movie, the animated movie. They use the same kind of animation there, so it looks really good. I watched a new show on Netflix called Postmortem. No One Dies in Scarns.
I watched the first. We watched the first episode of that.
Yeah, it's Norwegian.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, and you can go into the audio and switch it to British audio, and the people that do the overdubs really good.
Okay.
So it's not real. It's not jarring to hear it, but it's an interesting look at it's kind of a Norwegian version of a vampire story, but you're not really sure how much of it is real and how much of it is in people's heads. But it reminded me a lot of the volcano Katla from Iceland. A lot of similar cinematography. So it looks really good. And I've watched 3 episodes so far, and I'll finish it out. It's definitely worth a watch. Postmortem, No One Dies in Scarns is the name of it. And I rewatched The Last Boy Scout. I don't know why I wanted to watch, but it popped up and I hadn't seen it in so long. And I mean, it'd probably been over 20 years since I'd seen it. And for some reason I kept putting in things from my memory that was a different movie. I was like substituting
Mandela effect.
Yeah, like old Bruce Willis movies and stuff, I guess, in my mind. But it was
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it? It's a Tony Scott movie. So it has that same Tony Scott, you know, everything's kind of in the dark and looks like there's smoke haze through, you know, the entire frame all the time. But I went back and looked at, kind of read up on it. And it's funny because Bruce Willis seems to have the same problem. Anytime he's involved in a movie, he tries to take it over and rewrite it and make it, you know, control everything. And Tony Scott said this was one of the three worst experiences he ever had in his life making this movie. Damon Wayans and him and Bruce Willis hated each other through the entire movie. And they didn't show it on screen, but man, the set was just toxic. And everybody talks about how bad it is. I'm waiting for there to be a documentary on just the making of the movie and how bad it was. I think it'd be a really good one, but it was a decent rewatch because I didn't remember it very well, but I don't, you know, if you want to watch it again, it's on Netflix. And my staff pick is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings comes out Friday. You know, it's only at the theater, so I'm not, you know, I probably won't venture out to the theater to see it, but I'm waiting to see what everyone says about it.
In a month or so, it'll probably be on something.
Yeah, I figured it would jump pretty early. Most of these things, you know, they're having whatever run they're going to have, and then as soon as it's over, it's immediately transferred over. So hopefully that'll pop up on Disney Plus.
Okay, I continued my Untold watchings on Netflix with the Caitlyn Jenner story.
Is it good?
It was so good.
Awesome.
They really show his entire decathlon when he won the gold. Mm-hmm. They show it in its entirety with him.
Caitlyn Jenner story.
Bruce Jenner won the gold medals. And Caitlyn Jenner said that, so it's okay.
Yeah, she does say that. And at first I had it's kind of weird when they pan back to her and she's talking about him, but I mean, you get used to it, but, and then it's just the whole nostalgia factor of it. I wasn't old enough to really remember. I don't remember the 76 Olympics, but I remember in the early 80s, you know, 81, still 82, when I was a kid, he was such a big deal.
Yeah.
And just to know what all he went through to train for that decathlon and just how mentally intense he was. And it was all about the fact that he couldn't be himself, so he was going to do this.
Right.
It was all about, you know, he'd been cross-dressing since he was 9 years old.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He actually, I won't spoil it for you. I highly recommend you watch it.
Okay.
No matter what you think of Caitlyn Jenner, give it a watch. Cause it really did kind of change my opinion of the whole thing. Oh. And it made me miss Bruce, young Bruce.
The only thing I don't like about him in his career is his time with the Kardashians, because they just destroy everybody mentally.
Well, and you'll find out what kind of drove him into that.
Yeah.
Probably get hooked up with her to begin with. But that was really good. And another documentary on Netflix about drummers called Count Me In.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first one, or the first part, about the first half of that. That was really good.
It is really good. And I don't understand why they don't ever mention Neil Peart. Maybe they just couldn't get any
that was weird
footage or something. Maybe they couldn't get any rights to it, but they don't mention Neil Peart. They don't mention, which I don't know what you think of him technically. They don't mention Vinnie Paul, who I thought was pretty amazing. They don't even talk about Lars from Metallica, but they do mention a lot of other really good drummers.
But a lot of smaller ones too. Like a lot of drummers that you've never heard of from smaller bands. And I don't know why one over the other, but I guess it's made from the drummer from Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction. That starts it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the very
My God,
beginning.
Has he aged well? My God.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Circle that they do once a week in the telescope, I don't know what they call those, where the telescopes are housed, those giant things that spin around. They do a giant
telescope house.
It's telescope houses.
It's the one in Hollywood, right?
Yeah, where they filmed Rocket
Observatory. Rocketeer,
you know? Yeah, the observatory. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was really cool. I highly recommended that. And I watched Mr. Corman. I watched the first three episodes of that. That Joseph. It's on Apple Plus. It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and he plays a teacher who who gave up on the music business, and he's just a teacher now, and he has horrible anxiety. Like, he sees shit, and he's he has panic attacks all the time and stuff. And I was really into it until the end of episode 3. His mom is played by Deborah Winger, by the way, and she's great. But the end of episode 3,
dad John Lithgow.
Hmm.
Does his dad play by John Lithgow?
I haven't seen it. If he does play, but Andy, shut up. Anyway, so at the end of episode 3, it turns into one of these dance singing numbers between him and his mom, and it's all. Yeah. And I hate that shit, but I'll probably watch the next episode. Hopefully they won't keep doing that, but it was pretty good. And my stat pick is, I have been listening to this podcast for about a couple months now, and I'm crazy about it. And it's called Killer Psyche. And this chick, she was like one of the first big time FBI, whatever. She was huge in the FBI. She used to have a show back in the early 2000s on TV, and she's in her 70s now. But what she does is, with every single killer, even if they are people that you really know, she breaks down their entire psychological makeup, like what this person is and why they would be that person. It's really interesting. And she's so smart, and her voice is great, and she has everything that, and I'm trying to look it up, but
she's anyway, a profiler.
She was a profiler. She was one of the top FBI agents for years and years and years. And she was actually one of the first female FBI agents. So
Candace DeLong.
Yes, Candace DeLong. So I highly recommend Killer Psyche. It's a Wondery podcast. You know, it's put together very well. And every episode is super interesting.
Well, thank you, guys. Jeff, let's do Views or Snooze real quick.
First one, Billions, season 5 continued, starts this week.
Views.
Yeah, it's a Views for me. Even though season 5 got a lot of hate.
I like this.
I'm going to say snooze because I haven't watched any of it. But not because I don't like it.
It's so much better than Succession. And people love Succession. And I don't know. Maybe Succession.
I never got into that either.
Yeah, I couldn't get into
That's
it.
That's apples and oranges, Jeffrey.
Yeah. It's well, a views I'll for me.
It. Yeah, I'll views it just because I like the first season was really good. And I just haven't gone further than that. But I'll eventually. Up, man.
That's good.
Billions is fun. Yeah. Succession is mean.
Succession, people are just saying it's like Billions. And I was like, no. All right, I'll give it a chance. But I could not get into it.
I like Succession, but it's not because it's anything like Billions.
I just couldn't get into it. And number two, this is going to be Tim's new favorite show. Q-Force started today on Netflix.
It's like the people who know that Trump's going to be president again. And
no, this is a gay super spy and his scrappy LGBTQ squad fight to prove themselves and the agency that underestimated them. Today, West Hollywood, tomorrow, the world.
This is a comedy?
It's an animated comedy starring Sean Hayes as the voice of the lead guy.
Snooze.
That's a maybe views for me.
I'm going to check it out. I bet it's going to be funny. Sean Hayes is funny.
He is fun.
Yeah, I'll snooze until you guys tell me different.
Well, Tim's going to binge the entire thing tonight as soon as we get off the show. So
yes,
he'll let us know.
I'm not going to watch what we do in the shadow.
And then starting on September 9th on Peacock, Human Frogger game show. Who's in?
Are people going to get hit by cars?
That's what I want to know.
Because if they are, I'm a view.
It's on NBC.
I'll
views it if they're running through traffic and jumping on logs and swamps and shit.
Like Eddie Murphy and Bowfinger?
Yeah. Nah, I'm going to views the first one anyway, just to see what it's all about, because I want to see humans playing Frogger.
I want to crowdfund this diarrhea wipeout show and get it.
Yes.
Finally get it on the air.
I'm going to snooze just because I know it's not going to be what I want it to be.
Right.
And I would just get angry after watching it.
I do. I think they ought to do a live version Donkey Kong where you try to walk up scaffolding while a real gorilla throws flaming darts.
It's hard to get a gorilla to do that.
A real pitfall. Yeah. You could train a gorilla to throw flaming barrels.
Yeah, you could get him to throw barrels, but you'd have to light him on fire after he throws them, probably.
How about Centipede?
Oh,
just like the movie, but it's the game.
Oh, my God. Centipede the game? Oh, fuck. All right. That's the
that's Views or Snooze.
That's Views or Snooze. Thank you, Jeff.
And Ed Asner died, if we're doing that real quick.
Rest in peace, Ed Asner. I mean, he's a force in entertainment. As long as we've been alive, he's been in movies and television. So he was, 91 years old?
Yeah,
great actor and a humanitarian, did a lot of work for different causes and was never shy about it. He didn't care if you didn't like what he did. He didn't hate you because you didn't agree with him. He was just a humanitarian and a good guy. So,
and he played that Lou Grant in a comedy and a drama.
Yes, and won Emmys in both, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that sucks. But in 91 years old, he did a good, he had a good run, as they say. He had a good run.
I think he was all there mentally and health wise right up until the end. He seemed like he still had, all his faculties about him all right up until the end.
Before we talk about Barkville, I wanted to ask a question about what's Cusacon.
That's a con that's going on in Rome, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And they invited us to come and do a podcast there.
Okay.
And Carrie Means is going to be there, one of the voices from Aqua Teen.
Yeah, that guy goes to every con. I like him.
Our buddy Brian Silverbacks is going to be there, and Ming Chen is going to be there.
All right.
So that's in November.
All right. Then
road trip.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. If we can set up there and get everything, I'd love to do it. Steph, I see that you are going to be in a large crowd this weekend.
No, come on. That's caffeine and octane.
There's a ton of people at that.
It's all
but I'm not immersed in it or anything.
Well, no, I'm not complaining. I think it's great that tons and tons of people go out and still enjoy themselves. That's all I'm saying.
We can't all be dying in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to do it.
Well, why are you there?
We got the Barkville Dog Rescue Adoption Event. And I'm going to have my new foster dog, Barry. He'll be out there strutting his stuff,
mm-hmm.
Committing some murders and whatnot. But so come on out. It's this Sunday, September 5th from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And I think the weather's supposed to be really nice, too, like not brutally disgustingly hot. And there's always tons of cars. I can't overstate enough how great the crowd is at this thing.
It's a cool crowd. I've been
there a cool time. Crowd. This is part of why I always don't mind risking the COVID every time, which you're not really, because you're outside the whole time and you're not smashed up beside it. People, you can distance yourself, but it's a diverse crowd. People from all kinds of different backgrounds, but they're all car people. So they're all cool people. So we all, it's just like, it's a nice vibe and you don't get that much that these days. You don't get too many people that are just on a vibe. So
no, but you could use more caffeine. I noticed there's only a couple places. Get a bunch more caffeine there.
More coffee trucks.
More coffee trucks.
Get our friend from Banjo Cold Brew to get out there.
Hell yeah. There you go.
Oh yeah, man. He should have a truck out there.
I don't know if they have a truck, but they should.
Is the fundraiser still going on?
Yes, I got to post that link. I've been really slack about it this week. I've just had a bunch of crap going on. So my Strut Your Mud is in October and the Race for Our Lives thing is in 2 weeks. I think I got to do this thing with the Stracer. Yeah, I mean, that's like 2 weeks from now. But I'll put the Strut Your Mud thing up.
Awesome.
For sure. My niece adopted a dog in Pikeville, Kentucky yesterday because her and her fiance broke up very suddenly and she was sad. So she went and adopted a dog and it got away from her last night. So she lost it the same day she adopted it. So she's been looking for it since last night, basically, and she's destroyed.
That sucks.
Mm.
Feel bad for her. And the dog.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll end on that happy note. I hope that you find your dog. But everybody check out Barkville. Where can they find Barkville?
BarkvilleDogRescue.org. If you want to foster, if you want to adopt, if you want to donate, we could sure use any money you can give us. All of the shelters. Today was probably the day they were going to kill some. They just can't avoid it. And especially with these hurricane dogs that they've flown in. And I don't know, all the shelters. So we really need your help. If you could do that, go to BarkvilleDogRescue.org. Woof.
Keep it canine. And for the rest of you out there, please remember to keep it canine. All right, now we're going to thank all of our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers right here live and then recorded. And then, you know, in a couple months, we'll do a new one. If you'd like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon supporter, you can just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. We have lots of different levels, lots of different rewards. But the producers, you come in at $25 and up and you get yourself a T-shirt, and then you are an actual producer of the show. So you get credited every single week. And I want to start off with our general managers. Those are people who have been with us 4 years or longer. You guys feel free to jump in on that. We have Mr. Eric Malmstrom.
Oh, yes. He just won our big Barkville prize.
Oh, yeah. What did he win?
$3,000 in recliners.
Pays to listen to Radio Labyrinth and also donate to Barkville. Keith Tate has been with us since October 2016, and so is Eric. Matt Carter has been with us since November of 2016. And Chad Shepard has been with us since October of 2017. That's pretty, pretty awesome. Thank you, guys. And Chad Shepard is the gentleman and scholar who had the Redbox troll made into a doll. And then he gave it to me. And I think, and I can't wait to scare my child with it. okay. Our, by the way, these are silly radio things that I came up with. Program directors, if you've been 2 to 3 years, I don't know what I'm at the division. You got Sean Hall. He's a very awesome dude. He just made a big move. I'm not going to tell you where he moved to, but he just made a big move, and he's loving living in the suburbs, the country life. He's been with us since April of 2018. We also have Mike D, been with us since August of 2018. And John Sutherland, who is another awesome dude. Who had this really cool thing made for me. It's, I drew, Demented Don and the Donalds. Donald Trump is every member of KISS. And he had it put on plexiglass, and it's really cool.
Aww.
And I'm also going to put that in Gil's room, in his crib, so you can look at it. He's been with us since December of 2018. DJ, Spit of the Hits, for up to 2 years or less. We have Mr. Tim Slayton, who's been around since November of 2019. Brian Smith, who we just saw recently as well out in Conyers, him and him.
Chelsea Dubois.
That's right, Chelsea Dubois. Thank you guys very much. Chris Chandler, who's been around since December of 2020. Todd Ellis, January of 2020. Roby Neely has been around since November of 2019. And you can catch Mr. Roby Neely. You can catch him on our show sometimes. He's on Mike TV. And our most recent, Marty Johnson, who came on board in May of 2021. So thank you very much, Marty Johnson. And I want to throw this out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Emily's been with us since May of 2018, and Buck Monterey been with us since December of 2017. Thank you all very much for being producers. Again, if you'd like to sign up, you don't have to be a producer. We have all sorts of levels and tiers. Go to
Patreon.com/Tim Andrews.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And now back to baby stuff.
Please hang up and try again.